Thank you so much. I always hate interrupting these conversations because you're all amazing people, and I'm going to mention a good sampling of who is in this room, because that's what City Club's all about. We've got we're gathering some of the best, brightest, and some people who make this city the amazing city that it is, and the international convener that it is, in the center of America and really the center of the world. And today is such a great example of that. With today's program. So I'm Dan Gibbons. I'm the CEO of City Club, and welcome to City Club. On behalf of our Board of Governors, Omar Dagestani is here. Omar, could you say hello? Omar is one of our board members. Thank you, Omar. And we're trying to do some neat things here and change things up at the City Club. So this is one of them. And I appreciate you all taking your time to be here. We very much appreciate sponsors, because we couldn't share this platform without sponsors. So of course, the Metropolitan Pier and Exposition Authority is a sponsor today. Loretta Clark, great partners of ours, and Loretta is such a great friend of the City Club. The Chicago Lions Charitable Association is here. Chicago Lions, where are you? And we've got Chris Millett is here, who's done so much for this city and who's coaching there. Chris Millett, Bob Mizakowski, and Scouter here from Chicago Hope Academy. So great people doing great things, and also helping lift up Chicago rugby scene. So thank you for your sponsorship here. And then, of course, our favorite members, the Flood Brothers, Kevin, Bob, Mike, the Flood family. Always so good to City Club, and so good for Chicago. So thank you to those sponsors. And then, of course, our partner, which I'll get to in a minute, the Chicago Sports Commission, who you all are so many of you are so familiar with, and Cara Bachman. We'll get to Cara in just a second. But, yeah, she deserves a couple of applause, so go for it. As I mentioned, you know, City Club brings together civic leaders and all sorts of interesting folks, and everywhere I look, I see them. Jeannie Poncetto is here from DePaul, a legend in the Chicago sports. Mike Kelly here from the former Park District and now sports facilities. Rich Gamble is the CEO of Choose Chicago. Thank you, Rich. Tom Kerwin is here. John Murray, of course, the Council General of Ireland. Not that we're playing favorites. Brian Cahalane, Council General of Ireland. City Club is non-biased and non. We do not pick sides. I did not wear my shamrock pocket square, but I may or may not have green socks on. But we don't pick sides here at City Club. So I just want to make that very clear. But of course, welcome our great Council General from Ireland. Let's see. I mentioned Loretta. All these great folks. The Chicago Hounds are here. Peter Burnick is here with us, I believe. Again, elevating rugby in Chicago. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for Anya Malahan is here, also from the Ireland Funds, another great partner of City Club. So thank you. It's important because you all get to do some business. You all get to meet each other. You all get to hopefully make Chicago a little bit better by being here and by joining us and these incredible panelists that you're going to hear from in just a couple of minutes. I don't know what we're going to figure out what exactly we're going to do with these, but wanted to show you these. As you all heard, we had a great announcement yesterday, and November 1st is going to be the match here in Chicago at Soldier Field between Ireland and the All Blacks. Many of us were here in 2016, and that was just such an incredible day and week for our city's history, and 2025 is going to be just as amazing. So that announcement was made yesterday. It was the worst kept secret, right? There's a lot of buzz about it for a long time, a lot of excitement here in Chicago for what's coming in November. So we had this planned, and we wanted to share this stage with some of those legends that are here in town. And I'm going to ask, and I'm going to hand this over to our partner and our great friend who has done so much for sports in Chicago, rugby, the NHL, the NFL, the draft, the NASCAR, I could go on and on and on, but so many things that bring so much attention, money, economic development, and so many of you all to our great city, and so much of that is due to Kara Bachman. So, Kara, thank you. Thank you for all that you do with City Club. Thank you for all you do for Chicago. We're excited to partner with you today and to do more, as we've talked about, more to come here at City Club with the Chicago Sports Commission. I'm going to hand it over to Kara, who is going to introduce our panelists and help moderate this discussion. So please join me in a nice City Club welcome of the Chicago Sports Commission Executive Director, Kara Bachman. I'll hand over the ball.
Throw it. It's fine. Good afternoon. Thank you, Dan. Thank you for having us. City Club is obviously a spot that so many people gathered. We're so grateful that you all came out today. And I don't know, I was thinking about how we do these intros. Dan, you just put the ball away. I thought maybe we could do something fun with that. But you know, or make New Zealand wear Ireland's jerseys, vice versa. But I think maybe we'll keep the professionalism here to City Club standards. So how about I will have panelists join on stage, and I will start with my, let's see, which end, because we're a little tight up here. But let's start with my good friend, Padraig Power from IRFU, the Chief Commercial Officer. It's a little bit of a walk. Keep clapping for him until he gets to his seat, please. Yep. Come on. There we go. All the way. We have Bill Gorin, who, by the way, this is a bonus. You didn't even know you were getting Bill when you signed up for this lunch. This is the CEO of USA Rugby. Thank you for being here, Bill. And we have Cameron Good from New Zealand Rugby Union. Please welcome former New Zealand All Black Dane Coles. And please give an equal level of applause for former Ireland player Rory Best. Whoa. Everybody good? Okay. Guys, here we are. We've had a couple conversations these last few days. And before we get going, I want to make sure everybody is excited. So we are going to play a quick sizzle reel.
Rugby history. Ireland beat the All Blacks for the first time.
Outstanding from the All Blacks.
New Zealand going coast to coast.
There's no panic from the Maori Blacks.
So strong.
All right, a little headspace for you guys. All right, so yesterday, hopefully everybody caught the news. We were at Soldier Field. Celebrating, announcing that we will have the rematch of Ireland and New Zealand here in November 1st. As Dan mentioned, it was a wonderful secret. It was poorly kept. Cats out the bag. So tickets will be on sale shortly and available to everyone. But when they came, and we just saw a quick clip from 2016, but when Ireland and the All Blacks, you know, first battled at Soldier Field in 2016, it really was a and the stadium was sold out. Guinness eventually was sold out in the city. We were coming off the Cubs World Series, and like, Chicago was just in a mood. It just was feeling everything. And the atmosphere was electric. We talked about that a lot yesterday at the press conference. But now we have this very highly anticipated rematch. And we really do believe it's going to be even bigger, even better. It's going to be a huge deal. And mostly because of the growth that we've seen in rugby, which a lot we do credit to what happened here in 2016. Particularly here in Chicago, rugby has been on the rise. Dan mentioned some staples here, but the Chicago Lions Rugby Club has over 60-year history. So this sport's not a new phenomenon here. You know, the Chicago Hounds are underway. Home opener this weekend at SeatGeek, I believe, versus Utah. How's rugby in Utah? We're going to win, though, so we're fine. We're good. But, you know, they're entering their third season, and there is a lot of connectivity between players from all of these clubs, all of these teams, and it just does truly feel that rugby is on the rise. So we're going to talk to our panelists today, understand their perspectives, because they have very unique and experiences in the sport on the pitch and leading from a professional side in the front office. So I do want to start with some of our legends, Rory and Dane. And we talked about this yesterday with Lou Kanellis and Fox 32. And nice job, boys, on Fox 32 this morning. Look good in the kits. But, you know, these guys played here in 2016, if you didn't know that. So they have some stories to tell. But I mentioned their names, of course, but they have very long resumes. They've accomplished much in the sport. Dane has been part of three Rugby World Cups, a Webb Ellis Cup. He was a member of the 2015 Rugby World Cup Championship team, took third place in 2019, second place in 2023, won the Super Rugby in 2023, and in 2016, he was nominated for the Player of the Year Award. So, it was a lot longer. I just kind of gave you that snippet, but I'm going to try to do that for Rory as well, known really as one of the greatest rugby players of all time and captain of the Ireland national team. He made his debut actually versus the All Blacks in 2005. You know, he was about 15 years old and then retired at the end of the 2019 Rugby World Cup. That had been his fourth World Cup that he was part of the Ireland team. So they have a lot of experience. And across your careers, I think yesterday, you did tell us how memorable your experience was in Chicago and playing here in 2016, perhaps more memorable for Rory than Dane. But nonetheless, just can you share with this group, you know, the memories of 2016, what it meant to each of you, what it meant to your teams? And, you know, if one of the current players are asking you what to expect, what might you tell them?
I suppose I'll start, will I? Because my memories are probably a lot more pleasant than Dane's. I think 2016 is arguably one of my favourite memories in an Ireland jersey. I was lucky to play over 100 times for my country, and this ranks up there as one of the best. This city, that whole week leading into it, it was an extra game in our November series at home. Sort of travel away to somewhere like this was incredible. Then the homecoming parade for the Cubs that day, that Friday, when we had to do our team run early because of the homecoming parade. And I remember in one of the hotels doing a press conference, as the captain does the day before the game, and looking down at all these people, and I'd never seen this number of people in my life all in one place. And just the whole buzz, the weather was lovely. And I think when you play rugby, the one thing you always want to do is you want to represent at the highest possible level. And then once you do that, you want to achieve things that are memorable and historic at that level. So for us, after 111 years of history trying to beat the All Blacks, to be the first team to do it and to do it here was incredibly special for us. And I think on Cara's point, you know, if any of the players asked what to expect from an Irish point of view, you're going to get a very, very warm welcome. We were made very, very welcome here. There's a lot of Irish in this city. The Irish travel everywhere to support us anyway. And we had an unbelievable week, which obviously then the crescendo to that was the victory at the very end. And it's kind of one of those things that you go 111 years to get one victory, and then we've ended up, we've won four or five times since that in the last 9 years. So it sort of shows you that when you achieve something, then you just want to keep going on and whenever I first started going to what was Lansdowne Road in Dublin years ago as a 6, 7, 8, 9 year old boy, to think that we would be talking about having beaten the All Blacks more than once would have been, people would have laughed at you. And the way we felt after that game in 2016 is probably, as much as anything, it's the respect that we hold these guys in. So to be part of announcing this game yesterday, coming November, it sort of shows that the regard that we hold the All Blacks, but also where Irish rugby has come in a, well, a short period of time, it's a long period of time to finally get here. So look, I'm very looking forward to coming back as a supporter on the 1st of November to watch it. It'll be a lot easier on the body than it was in 2016 playing in that game. But look, it'll be another fantastic occasion. You know, we're expecting another sellout. Everything about that was so memorable to me, and I absolutely loved it. And even being back here, there's so many happy memories, especially Monday night. There's a lot more memories made on Monday night into Tuesday, so it was good.
Thanks, Rory. Yeah, Dean.
Well, unfortunately for us, we made all the history for the wrong reasons for New Zealand and the All Blacks. But aside, if you take away the result in the game, just the stadium and the way that you guys embraced us during the week, coming to America for a lot of us All Blacks was very foreign, so we didn't really know what to expect. But playing in a stadium like that, the history behind it, the Cubs obviously winning the World Series, we try to mix it up with the action with the fans, and I think some of us were still there at game day. So, it was a great week, and we got to showcase world rugby on the world stage. But unfortunately for us, we didn't quite get the win. But I think it's intensified the relationship between Ireland and the All Blacks, and the respect for each other has been awesome too. Like, it's good to be out of the mix and actually sit down for a guy I had a lot of respect for and played against a lot of the times, and just share a few laughs, because you're not so caught up in the emotion and the rivalry with the game. So, yeah. And I think what the boys can expect too is just something that's very unique. We played a lot of world-class stadiums and a lot of big crowds, but I don't reckon there's anything like, a packed-out Soldier Field when two countries are trying to smash each other and they can have a beer after the game. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be back in here in November. Like I said, in the stands, having a Budweiser or something like that and enjoying the game. But yeah, looking forward to it.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I think a lot of people experienced the camaraderie between the teams, and the respect was definitely something that I think as people here learn more and more about your sport, that's something that I've heard a lot of people talk about, and it's something that I think people are drawn to in the sport. So it's beautiful to see. I meant to ask at the onset, I just thought a quick show of hands of who attended the 2016 Ireland All Blacks game in Chicago. Okay. Who will be attending the 2025? All hands should be up in this room. Okay. All right. That's good. I like this. All right. So that leads us nicely into, what I wanted to talk to you about also on the commercial side. The player experience is great, which is obviously incredibly important for the countries, the sport of rugby. You want that competition and the players to want to be part of it, and sounds definitely that they enjoy that. But then on the commercial and brand side and for the sport of rugby, I mean, you're not just coming here to have a game for your guys to go on a field trip across, out of town, but you're doing it for something more than that. The U.S. market, particularly Chicago, we're not naive in that probably any city in the U.S. would want to have you. We are the lucky ones here. I think every city would definitely want Ireland-New Zealand matchup. We get you. We're lucky. Why is the U.S. market so important to you for the brand and for your team, and why Chicago?
Maybe I'll take that.
Yes,
good afternoon, everybody. Firstly, just want to say a huge big thank you. You have really made us feel welcome here. I was fortunate enough to be here in 2016 to watch the game, and in 2018 when we played Italy. I have a confession to make. I actually, at half time, we were leading, and we had got kind of close to New Zealand several times. So at halftime, I actually locked myself in the bathroom in the stadium. And I stayed there for about 20 minutes because I said, no, they're going to catch us. They always do. They're going to catch us. They're going to catch us. And a colleague of mine came into the bathroom with about 5 minutes to go till the end. And he said, no, 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 they're not going to catch us this time. We're going to win this one. And I came out and Robbie Henshaw crashed over for kind of the try that sealed it for us. So we were delighted. So, but really what stood out for me personally from that game, and I've been working in Irish rugby for, this is year 25 for me now, that was a real special day, but made all the more special by just the community welcome that we got from everybody in Chicago, the business welcome, the corporate welcome. The stadium was absolutely magnificent that day off the field. Yes, money was made. Beer got sold and food got drank, which was great. But I know that when we announced the game yesterday that there were so many people in Ireland looking to buy tickets, Aer Lingus are going to be creaming it in terms of airfares coming from Ireland for the game. And that's all part of it. And, you know, rugby is a global game, but it's kind of it's not as big as we'd like it to be. And America kind of represents a really good opportunity for the game to go globally. I know Bill and his team are really trying to push US rugby, and they have a great calendar of games this year. I think they play England this year, which would be a big one. And I think everybody in the room would love to see America beat England, I think. So we will be cheering or rooting for America. But, you know, the opportunity to come to a city like Chicago, it's just great. The stadium is marvelous. I was there yesterday. It was freezing, but it was it's got great character, and your town has great character. And thanks again for welcoming us so well.
And maybe Cameron, if you tell us from your side, and then Bill, I have a follow up question for you on the same topic, but for New Zealand. We hope you felt as warm of a welcome. But yeah, for your brand is huge. Everybody knows who the All Blacks are. You don't necessarily have to come to Chicago for people to know who you are. But why do you want to be in Chicago? What does it mean for New Zealand rugby and your world famous All Blacks team?
Yeah, thank you, Cara. And echoing P's comments about the welcome we've had, coming into Chicago, you can see how connected all elements are with the Soldier Field and the team there, how welcoming they were to us yesterday, and Cara, your team with the Chicago Sports Commission, and then to have the mayor there helping us to promote the event, fantastic reception. So, I mean, the history of the All Blacks, as you say, we're a global brand. You know, over the last 140 years, we've been lucky enough to win, I think, 4 out of every 5 tests we've played. So as a professional sports team, I think it's hard to find other sporting organisations, sporting teams that have a record like that. We're very much an international brand, an international team. So the All Blacks play less at home in New Zealand than they do on the road, and that's been the case for some time. So we, you know, Dane and the team are used to getting on planes, going places, walking into environments and maintaining that record of success. I think with the USA, we'd been here in 2014. We came back, and I think everyone misses the fact we actually won in 2014. So it's 1-1. But I think, you know, we dabbled in the market. I'd like to say we had a great experience in Chicago, which I think answers the question about why Chicago. So when we were working with our colleagues at TEG as the promoters of the event, it was actually a pretty simple conversation that there can be only one location for this match. But having the Men's Rugby World Cup coming here in 2031 and the Women's World Cup in 2033, I think it's meant that for unions like ourselves in Ireland, we're getting a lot more deliberate about the opportunity in the US. It's daunting. It's an enormous market. We played in San Diego last year against Fiji. We're here this year, and we're looking, working closely with Bill and the team at World Rugby to look for those opportunities to come and play here. And it's a pretty easy conversation with All Blacks team management, because as Dane explained, they love coming to this country. They're followers of American sport, and you do sport better than anyone. So the opportunity to come into these big stadiums is pretty compelling for our team.
Thanks, Cameron. Yeah, you mentioned, and I apologize, I should have at the onset, but he mentioned TEG, which Ben Dunn, their senior vice president, is with us today and our key partner. He's the reason that the teams are with us. So, Ben, thank you very much. And Ben and his team also obviously have opportunities to take teams elsewhere, and they've also been to Chicago with very high-level professional international soccer clubs. So building the value of Chicago, showing brands, sport team brands, what they can do here in Chicago is incredibly important, and working with the right people. And in bringing in international teams of this caliber, obviously having a partner in USA Rugby, who, you know, is the sanctioning body for the sport in the USA, and Bill Gorin is here with us today. And, you know, when Cameron, thank you for mentioning 2014, when New Zealand did win over USA, perhaps an expected result, but nonetheless, you know, I think the point of that, and Bill, you know, I know you weren't CEO at that time, but, you know, you've been in the sport. You know, having USA come and not have, there's no ego on it, right? It's like, okay, they're better than us. Let's show people what this sport is about and how great it is, and what great looks like, even though, I mean, New Zealand did not play their top guys and they still beat us. I honestly think it was 71-3, but with, you know, their second team or third or whatever. But nonetheless, we all saw the sport and that USA could obviously use a little boost. And again, there are a lot of people building up the sport of rugby in the U.S. and obviously in Chicago. So, Bill, if you can talk also, you know, what USA Rugby is doing with the development of the sport, and then also, of course, the commercial side, because as a national governing body, you guys oversee a lot that has to do with the sport. So,
yeah. So, look, we've had a lot of great moments in the history of rugby in the U.S. USA Rugby this year is its 50th anniversary. There's a lot of great opportunities we've had to grow the game. There wasn't one any bigger than when you two came together and played here in Chicago. That's a moment that I've heard over and over, not just in this room, because a lot of people in this room were at that game, but over and over my time in rugby, of how magical that moment was. And not because it was the two teams. Honestly, I told someone earlier, it's like, I didn't really remember who won the game. I had heard.
Huh? We did.
Okay. but what I had heard, I know now. Is everyone's like, this is what rugby can be in the U.S. This is what we were all striving for. There's a number of people in here that have been doing it for years, trying to grow this game of rugby. And I'm so happy and proud to be partnering with them in trying to do that, doing my part in it. We continue, as I took this job about a year ago, I looked at what was in the future. We have a great base. We have a Major League Rugby organization here. There are 11 teams across the U.S. There's a women's league that will be starting up. We have a number of U.S. matches, and we have our pathway programs, our identifying groups. U.S. is really unique when it comes to how we identify our athletes, because we have something that most countries don't have, is a collegiate system. We have a built-in minor league system for the next level of rugby player. We also have Major League Rugby, where they can go immediately, get into a pro environment, and then we can identify them as U.S. Eagles. That's what we call ourselves. So it's a really unique environment. When I was able to come in about a year ago, I looked ahead and I said, look, there's huge opportunities for rugby. It's ready to go. It's a great sport. It's got great values. But how can we get it there? And I knew we had an Olympics coming up in 24. And I said, they told me, like, hey, we got a chance of medaling here. Like, this is something. And I knew that was going to be magical. We talk about the World Cups. We talk about all the international rugby in the world. But for me, everyone in the U.S. cheers for U.S. teams in the Olympics. No matter if they know the sport, don't know the sport, they watch it because it's the U.S. And I knew this was an opportunity that we could really get at the top of mind. So We go in, I take the job, and we do. We have success in the Olympics. We got a bronze medal. That's a couple of teams did better than us. But I would say that that was a big step for U.S. rugby, and we really were able to take off. And that, from a moment, from these moments of these groups coming in, became momentum that we were able to really start growing the game. Looking forward, we have an Olympics on home soil in 28, which is going to be unbelievable, great opportunity for our sport, and great opportunity to continue to grow it. And by 31, we'll have a men's World Cup, and 33, we'll have a women's World Cup. So U.S. is primed. Now, for our job here and their job is how do we build up to that moment so we maximize that opportunity in 31? We have 9 U.S. matches going on in the U.S. this year. That's more than we've ever had from our international teams. So we will be showcasing, and as mentioned, England will be coming in. That's another opportunity for U.S. to kind of show where we're at. And while we might be challenged in a competition like that, it's better to be challenged than to not always know where you sit in the world ranking. So the opportunities are there. We'll continue to build the U.S. and we'll continue to go towards that World Cup. Chicago's a special place. I think we all know it. We have an MLR team here that came in this third season, I believe. They'll be kicking off Sunday for third season. And they continue to build the momentum. There's a number of clubs here that are building momentum. This group coming in, building the momentum. As we look at where the World Cups are going to be in the U.S., we look at cities that embrace us, that partner with us on a commercial side as much as a competition side, and able to really host and show the world what the U.S. can do when it comes to rugby. And so we've targeted a number of cities, Chicago being one of those, where we'd love to bring the World Cup and really set this mark as, not just saying that the Hounds are our rugby team, but the Hounds sit up there with the Cubs and with the White Sox, maybe with the White Sox, and the Bears. And I think by 31, the U.S. has an opportunity to grow this game to be exactly that.
And I did mean to share a fact here that truly really illustrates how big Rugby World Cup is. The men, I think this, Ben, keep me honest, but I believe this was from the 2023, but the Men's World Cup sold 2.8 million tickets across the competition, which is more tickets than are sold for the Olympic Games with all the disciplines that are included. So that it's massive. The numbers show it. And, as Bill mentioned, 2031 and Chicago is part of a large group of U.S. cities that are included in the bid that would potentially be host cities for these matches, which, of course, we are planning to be a part of. And this sets us up for that success. And Soldier Field has been a phenomenal host for these games. And here's where not having a dome is awesome, because then people watching get to see the whole city. So we appreciate that. Well, just thinking of the World Cup, there's a lot of touch points here from Rory and Dane having competed in the World Cups, and Bill and Padraig and Cameron all participating from the front office side. I think from a World Cup, for it to be in the U.S., it's never been in the U.S. This, coming here for a game is a tremendous opportunity. How much does it amplify? Padraig, if having you here in November is, X, what are we looking at for a World Cup? How significant is that for IRFU?
It's hugely significant. I think what I'm hearing is you'd like to host Ireland here.
If Ireland and New Zealand both want, just to have their team bases in Chicago for 2031, I think this room, we can get that done.
In truth, it's very significant. Being able to, in 2023 in France, in the World Cup, there was probably 25,000 to 30,000 Irish people travelled from all over the world, especially from Ireland, to support the team. And I know that people are starting to get their heads around coming to the States. I don't think anyone in the world does sport as well as you guys do here. And the mix of business, fun, beer drinking, which we love, and eating, which we love. You have a great mixture of all of those things, and it kind of works seamlessly. And you're able to pay for it all by insinuating and welcoming companies like you that are involved into that mix. So it's I have no doubt America will run an absolutely unbelievable World Cup. Hopefully, and I don't want to talk to Rory because he's played in loads of them. I've been working for six World Cups for the IRFU or for Irish Rugby, and we haven't got out of the quarterfinal yet. So hopefully by 2031, there'll be one in 27 in Australia. We might go and just kind of get that kind of monkey off our back and move forward. But 2031 will definitely be epic. And I have no doubt, as I said, you guys will deliver. And you've heard it here. Cara has committed to Chicago hosting Ireland. So we will shake on that. Thank you very much.
I think the community will come together for that. You guys maybe the same host hotel yeah. for the teams, or did you need to be separate?
Yeah, little probably, separation? Probably separate.
Okay.
Just so there's enough beer in there.
Yeah, more to get away from Padraig than the teams.
So, Cameron, to add to that, for New Zealand and the U.S. market, just having a longer, really runway, more time in market, what would you guys do above and beyond what you might be doing for this game in November?
Yeah, I mean, as an organisation, as an All Blacks team, you know, we operate in four-year cycles. So you always want to get the result with what's in front of you, but you are planning to in that World Cup cycle. You know, we're looking ahead to 2027 in Australia and then also looking out to 2031. I mean, I'd liken this to the World Cup in 2019 that was held in Japan, so a less traditional rugby market. We spent a lot of time there, not just our All Blacks teams, but other teams. So we have a Māori All Blacks team, we have an All Blacks 15. So we want our players experiencing the country, travelling in the country, playing in the stadiums. And that builds that knowledge and that confidence heading in. So we're very deliberate around our strategy with Japan. Didn't quite get the result there. But the same here, that we'll keep looking out, we'll keep looking for opportunities for our teams to play here and to experience and to help build that profile of the tournament because we want it to be successful.
Maybe talk about the impact that they had on Japan, Cup had on Japan.
Yeah, I mean, the broad, and I haven't got the facts and figures with me, but certainly the broadcast stats out of Japan and the legacy it has left with Japanese rugby, you know, the changes it's made to their professional league. So it's a, you know, Dane, you were playing up there a year ago. You know, we have there's a lot of good rugby players now playing in that market as a legacy of that World Cup. And that's the opportunity that kind of pinnacle event provides. And to follow that up 2 years later with, you know, there's only one team we've got that's more successful than the All Blacks, and that's our women's team, the Black Ferns, who've won six World Cups. So, so the opportunity to be here in 31 and to be back here in 33, it's hugely exciting.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting bringing up, you know, the 2019 World Cup in Japan and it being a newer and maybe an infant, you know, rugby market, but non-traditional rugby market, and then seeing the growth. And I've just heard, you know, through other connections and networks in sport, just that they, you know, in Japan, there has really been a growth in the fandom of the sport. And obviously, when you're hosting a major event, such as a World Cup in any discipline, really, you know, there are legacy programs and other objectives tied to hosting the sport. There's the commercial, there's the big bucks, the TV, et cetera. But then what is left behind and where is the growth? And, you know, I'll start with you and then have everyone else chime in. But what is that going to mean for the U.S.? And what is the vision for legacy? We were having some conversations about it last night and other sport growth. And, you know, maybe on one coast, you know, it takes off and then, it it kind of catches fire. But what do you see as that impact and the significance for the sport for the World Cup coming to the U.S.?
Has anyone been to a World Cup before? It's hard to explain. It's one of the biggest events in the world that a lot of Americans don't know about or haven't really experienced. And one of my introductions to it was going to a World Cup and going, okay, I get this now. What I see kind of coming out of the World Cup is a lot like what soccer had when the World Cup came with soccer and MLS came out of that. It took 25 years. MLS is an unbelievable league now. They had a lot of growing pains like everyone else has when they're starting up a league. But out of a World Cup came a professional sport. For the U.S., we've got so much of the groundwork already laid. MLR is in its eighth year. By then, it'll be 14 years old. Maybe I'm making that up and not very good at math. But you'll see that we'll have a professional sport ready to already well into its growth stage and ready to really be on the U.S. stage. Same with our youth and our different programs. So youth in high school, college, and our senior club. Among those groups today, we have about 120,000 athletes playing. We have the second most youth athletes playing in the world, but we just have a really, really big country. So it's kind of spread out and not as impactful as it would be if it was in kind of a condensed area. But what I hope to see and what I do believe you're going to see us get to 1 million athletes playing across amateur athletes playing across the U.S. And then you'll see us get to 2. And then as we're coming out of that second World Cup, hopefully 2.5 to 3 million athletes playing across the U.S. And it being just as common as a lot of people are roughly my age in here. I never played soccer when that World Cup came. And MLS started, every kid felt like they had to play soccer, played for their first years, and then maybe went on and did something else or stayed in the game. But every young child has played soccer, probably a lot of your children. That's what I hope for rugby, is as they come out of these two World Cups, every kid has touched a rugby ball. They don't see one and go, well, that's a weird-looking football. But they think, I know that game. Even if they played 1 year, played in PE, or played their whole life, they know that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible when you get sport on the ground and players in the markets and what connections can be made. And, with Rory and Dane, with the future of the sport, while you may be retired, I mean, it's obviously your passion, your heart. It's given you so much in life. How do you see yourselves involved, or what's your role in the future of rugby as it continues to rise?
What, here or just in New Zealand?
Well, I mean, help us out here. You said the U.S. market is important.
I'll come over. You pay my flights and I'll come over. No. I still love the game, and I'm sure Rory's the same. We want to see the game get as big as it can through New Zealand, Ireland and the States. So it's like you said, like the World Cups have set themselves up. Us coming over this year, hopefully there's a few more international teams that come over and just keep the profile of rugby ticking along and people embracing it, recognising it. And saying, oh, that game actually looks pretty cool. That'd be quite cool to start out. And then hopefully that filters through the colleges and whatever. Like, we're still passionate about rugby, and we want it to succeed. And no better place than the biggest market in the world, in Chicago and America. So if there's anything you need, I'm only a phone call away, and I'll be more than happy to help out, But, yeah, we
have a Major League Rugby team that might be
I love the game. I brought my boots over, so no. We want to see the game succeed and be the best it can, because we paid for our countries, but also we want to see the game be as big as it can become.
Just to interrupt, just as a bit of an aside, Dane had actually said to me earlier, and it's an exclusive here, he was actually thinking of running for mayor in his local town. So he would have to juggle that if he's successful. And if there's any politicians, they say come to Chicago, but don't talk about politics. But I think if we talked about Dane running for mayor locally, that would be okay. If there's any politicians in the room, but they seek Dane out afterwards, please, and just give him a few words of advice.
He's going to be my PA, I think.
Well, Dan loves breaking news here at City Club. So if we want to hold up the signing that I think has kind of just covertly happened there with Dane Coles joining the Chicago Hounds, is that?
Yeah, it's all sawn away.
I'm going to interrupt for a second.
Dan's going to interrupt for a second.
And before, we do have a few minutes, but I think before Kara closes out, I thought we do have such an interested audience that maybe there would be a question or two. And obviously, we have some legends on the stage, so it's kind of a neat opportunity to maybe ask a question. So we don't usually do this, but I thought that with this crowd, there may be a question or two. If you do have one, raise your hand, and I'm actually going to pass the microphone over. So please, I know there's so many burning questions. Who's got one? Right over here. Thank you. Play my game show host role here.
So Rory and Dane, I know you've seen American football before. And I'm wondering if we threw some pads and helmets on both of you, and the Bears were on the 10-yard line, how could you stop them from scoring?
Oh, I'm not sure. They're particularly large human beings, those guys. But listen, I'll give me pads and helmet. I'll have a go at anything. So, well, I think Dane would probably be slightly more suited to the NFL than I would be. He's a lot more athletic than I am. But yeah, look, I think it's a great sport as well, and it sort of shows that there are quite a few similarities between the two sports. I know that we look on at some of the hits and just go, wow, that looks incredibly powerful, incredibly strong, incredibly sore. And I know from speaking to some of those guys, they think we're mad not wearing pads. But yeah, look, it's I'd definitely give it a go anyway. Why not? What's the worst that can happen?
We've got one right over here too, unless anyone wanted to add.
That is fun.
I think the question on everyone's mind, I'm Bill Frauman with the Chicago Lions, that is, how do we get tickets?
Well, there is I think we're sending a code for the pre-sale that is open tomorrow. So Thursday, we will give everybody here, we appreciate you all attending, so we'll give everybody here a pre-sale access code that will open tomorrow at 10 a.m. And then the general public sale begins 24 hours later. So we'll give everybody a head start to grab some tickets.
Hey, everybody. Sorry. Thanks a million for the speech. It was really, really good. Just a quick question. I know there's been a big focus on international teams coming to America to play. I'm just wondering, is there any ideas in the immediate future for the MLR teams to enter into international competitions with other clubs, kind of like Super Rugby or...
I mean, MLR is obviously focused on their own competition here, but during their preseason, they've had a number of international teams come in to compete, kind of see where they stand, and to get ready for the MLR season. So I think really it's probably best to ask the MLR folks in the room, but I would say that they're really focused on building the best U.S. competition they possibly can.
I'll throw it back to you, Carl. We got about four more minutes.
I think our Chicago Hounds are just focused on beating Utah this Sunday. I just want to say thank you so much. I mean, on behalf of the Chicago Sports Commission and Choose Chicago, I mean, this is what we try to do every day is have Chicago stand out, and you definitely help us do that, putting us on the map in a major sport and in a major way. People keep reporting to us where they've seen this announcement made since the secret became officially not a secret yesterday, and the positive vibe, the excitement. Sport is the only thing that can get everybody that, you know, excited, that positive, that unified. And I don't really want to skip ahead, but it's February. I kind of wish it was almost November. But we're absolutely thrilled that you came in to launch and announce this event. Ben Dunn, TEG, thank you so much. And it's going to be incredible. We obviously pulled the room. Everybody is going to be at the game. So we will see everybody. This entire crowd will reconvene on November 1st, 2025. But thank you all so much. Offer any last words or, I guess, political ambitions?
Vote Cole. Vote Cole.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, City Club. Thank you, Dan Gibbons.
And thank you, Kara. Thank you, Kara. And yes, Ben Dunn, thank you for entrusting Chicago. Thank you for choosing Chicago. I think you're going to be very happy. And thank you for being here at City Club. You know, we are, you might wonder why we're talking about it here. We have such an incredibly diverse membership of all different sectors, and sports is so integral to every one of those. In philanthropy, in government, in business, in community, you know, and think about the sport and the importance of that for our future generations and all the kids that are touched by it. So we're so excited to bring all these folks together. And when Carr brings other teams, we're going to be doing this again, and appreciate you all coming back. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all your great comments. We'll jump in a picture. I'm going to ask Trish Rooney's also here, one of our board members, and Omar, if you're still here, to come up for a quick photo from our board. And thank you all for joining us. Have a great warm day.